We're going to start doing that. But let's get into the study here tonight, Psalms chapter number 1. And look at verse number 1, see what the Bible has to say there. And the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So let's focus on that first verse there. Number 1, the Bible says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And of course, what we need to learn from this is that it is important that we get the right kind of counsel, that we get godly counsel, that we make sure that we are getting counsel from the right places and from the right people. Now, obviously, we would say that, number one, we should get counsel from the Word of God, that we should get counsel from God. But, you know, it is all right as well to get counsel from men, but you need to make sure that you're getting that counsel from the right kind of men, because the counsel of men can oftentimes lead you astray. And so you need to make sure that you're getting it from the right place and that you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Because if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the Bible says there that you will be blessed. In fact, take your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter number 18. Let's look at a few examples of this in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 18, and look down at verse number 17. See what the Bible has to say there. Exodus chapter number 18, and look down at verse number 17. The Bible says there in Exodus chapter number 18 and verse number 17, and it says, "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou..." Am I in the right chapter? Yeah, I'm in the right chapter. All right, look at verse number 18. "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses, notice what he did. Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. You know, Moses' father-in-law was a godly man that gave him some godly advice. But you know what? Let me ask you a question. Do you think most men here today want to take advice from their father-in-law? I mean, probably not, right? I mean, the average man out there probably does not want to hear what his father-in-law has to say. And listen, I don't blame you if your father-in-law is not a godly person. If your father-in-law is some kind of wicked person, sure, don't take ungodly counsel. But you know what? Just because that person is related to you, if they give you godly advice, you need to hearken unto it. You need to listen to what that person is telling you. You know, oftentimes, people, we get our pride built up, and when somebody that's close to us, whether it's our father-in-law, or it's our father, or it's our mother, or it's your brother, and they give you advice, oftentimes, we'll get all built up in our pride, and we don't want to receive what they have given to us. I mean, think about had Moses not taken what his father-in-law had told him. By the way, Moses, you know, he was a great leader at this point, right? I mean, they've seen some great things that God has done for them. And Moses is leading millions of people. Don't you think Moses probably could have allowed himself to get built up in his pride? He could have said, well, I'm the one that God has chosen, and God has chosen me to put me over these millions of people, and who are you to give me advice? But did Moses do that? No, Moses did not. Moses hearkened unto godly counsel. He recognized it and saw the godliness of it, saw the worth and the value that that wisdom could bring to him, and the rest of the people benefited because of it. Because he hearkened unto godly counsel, they were blessed, and Moses' life was made easier. Moses' life was made better because he hearkened unto godly counsel. Now take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter number 12. Look at verse number 6. Look at another story in the Old Testament there. 1 Kings chapter number 12 and look at verse number 6 and see what the Bible has to say there. 1 Kings chapter number 12 and look at verse number 6 and see what the Word of God has to say there. 1 Kings chapter number 12. And verse number 6, and the Bible says this in 1 Kings 12, and verse number 6, the Bible says right there, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then will they be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of who? The old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto him, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father had chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastened you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we within David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. Let's stop reading there. And this is where the nation of Israel is split into two kingdoms. And why are they split? They are split because Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the older men and went after the counsel of the younger men, went after the counsel of those who had grown up with him. Now listen, right off the bat, this tells you that there is a certain place that you ought to seek wisdom, that you ought to seek counsel, and you ought to seek that counsel, first of all, obviously outside of God, you ought to seek that counsel from those who are older, from those who have gone through some things, through those who have some wisdom, have some experience in their life. They've seen things in their life. They know how things work out. And so you ought not to be of the attitude that, well, these old people, they just don't know anything, and they're just completely different from my generation. Let me tell you something. Man today is the same as man will be in the future, and man today is the same as what he was 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It doesn't matter that technology has changed. It doesn't matter that culture changes. Man at his heart is the same. And that we ought to see in the Word of God that you ought to get counsel from those that are older, from those that are wiser, from those that have experience. You ought to seek that wisdom that they have. Now listen, we don't take their counsel as if their counsel is the Word of God. We take their counsel and we compare it with what the Bible says. And if it lines up with Scripture and it doesn't contradict Scripture, then take that godly counsel. But if it does go against the Bible, then obviously you throw out that counsel and go with what God says in His Word. And that's why it's important that you have a multitude of counselors. Because in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says, there is safety. You know, if I'm going to get counsel in my life, for example, I'm a pastor. You know, if I'm going to get counsel in my life, I'm probably going to go to another pastor who's been pastoring longer than I have. You know, if I come up against a situation in my life in pastoring, something that I've never encountered before and I need some counsel, I'm going to go ask an older man. I'm going to go ask a man who's been around longer than I have that might have seen a situation like this and get some godly counsel from that person. And you know what? We all need to have that attitude that we would seek out the wisdom of those that are older. There is nothing wrong with that. You should value that. Listen, you ought to value the wisdom that your parents have. You ought to value the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the experience that your parents have. That is part of honoring your father and your mother. And the Bible gives you a promise that if you'll honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long upon the earth. That's a promise that God gives you in His Word. And so listen, we need to seek that counsel from those that have experience in these matters. But Rehoboam, he didn't seek after that. He just sought after the wisdom of those who had grown up with him. Listen, teenagers and young people, you don't need to be seeking the wisdom of another teenager. You don't need to be seeking the counsel of another teenager, of another child. If you need counsel, the first place you ought to go, other than God, is you ought to go to your parents. You ought to go to your mom. You ought to go to your dad. You can go to your pastor. But you need to seek counsel from those that are older than you and not from somebody that you've grown up with, because frankly, a 16-year-old knows nothing. Frankly, a 16-year-old, even if he's a godly 16-year-old, is still a child. Still has not had enough experience in his life to be able to give some counsel and some wisdom. Because a 16-year-old still has not lived on their own, have they? They haven't paid their own bills. They haven't had to work to put food on the table. They've not raised their own children. They've not been put over a lot of responsibility yet in their life. So that 16-year-old, even if he's a godly 16-year-old, is still learning and growing and is not somebody that you need to get counsel from. You need to get counsel from the older people. You need to get counsel from the Word of God and from those that have experience. And you ought to listen to that experience, because if you don't, you're going to learn the hard way. And if you don't, you're going to end up hurting yourself and ruining your life. And one day you'll wake up and you'll figure out Brother Joe was right. One day you'll wake up and you'll figure out Dad was right. You know, that young man that wanted his inheritance, the prodigal son, I mean, one day he woke up when he was in the slop, in the mire, with the hogs, and was about to eat that corn husk, and he's down there eating the feed of that hog, and he figures out, maybe Dad was right about something. Maybe Dad had something figured out. And he went back to his dad and went back over there, but you know what, by that time, it was already too late, wasn't it? Yeah, his dad received him back, but he had already wasted his inheritance. I mean, think about the great things that young man could have done with his life had he just listened to his father in the first place. Had he just listened to godly wisdom and experience in the first place, instead of going out there and had to experience the sin and experience all the slop and the mire that's out there in the world that destroyed his life. Hey, listen to the experience of those that are older and judge it by what the Bible says and get wisdom from God and from His Word. And if you will do this, the Bible promises you will be blessed. Now look back at what the Bible has to say in Psalms chapter number 1. Look back over there. By the way, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 13, verse 10, it says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know, the reason why you would not take this counsel here tonight is because you're prideful. The only reason why anybody here would not receive what I am saying here tonight is because of the pride that's in your own heart. That pride will keep you from receiving the Word of God, and you need to recognize that you need to humble yourself. You know, there is nobody here that, listen, I'll admit to you here tonight that one of the things, especially when I was younger, that I struggled with was pride. You know, I was not one of those people that struggled with being just kind of reserved sometimes and just kind of not being confident in myself and just thinking too low of myself. You know what? You have people that have that problem, but then you've got people on the other end of the spectrum that are too prideful a lot, that are very confident in themselves. You know, that is the type of person, that is my nature, that I am very confident in myself and in my abilities, and something that I have to keep in check all the time is my pride. Something that I constantly have to tell myself and constantly have to make sure of is making sure that my pride is in check and that I am keeping myself humble and not getting too prideful. And so you know what? I'm telling you this as somebody who's been through this, who has experience with this, that you need to recognize there are others that are wiser than you, that know more than you. And when you see that somebody is wiser than you and has more knowledge than you, don't sit there and argue with them. Shut up. Listen to what they have to say. Listen to the wisdom that they're trying to give you from their experience that they have gone through in their life. And you can take that and you can apply that to your lives. You don't need to sit there and speak up and show how smart you are. Because you know what? When you do that, when you sit there and you just have to speak up and show how smart you are, you're actually showing everybody how much of a fool you are. Because the fool is the one that will open his mouth and won't be quiet. The fool is the one who just doesn't know how to be quiet. It's the wise person who knows how to be quiet and listen to experience and listen to wisdom, and he takes it and applies it to his life. That's what you need in your life. We need to learn how to be humble and to learn from one another so that we can grow and take that experience that somebody else has, that we can learn and grow thereby. If you don't know about a subject, then don't speak about a subject. Listen to somebody else who does know about it so that you can gain some wisdom and understanding in your life. Look back at Psalms chapter number 1. Look at what the Bible has to say there. Psalms chapter number 1 again. And look down at verse number 1. Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice this, nor standeth in what? The way of sinners. What does it mean to stand in the way of sinners? Let me ask you, what is the way itself talking about? It's talking about the way they go, the path of sinners, how they live their lives, the path of sin in their life. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter number 4, and look at verse number 11 when you get there, Proverbs chapter number 4. And look at verse number 11, see what the Bible has to say there. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 11. And the Bible says right there, Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the what? The right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Notice what it says. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, you will be blessed if you avoid the path of the wicked. You know, when we go down the road, let's say we're to go out here tonight, we have a couple paths we can take to get home, don't we? And let's say we've got two paths, and one is well lit, one is paved, and one is easy to travel on, and then we've got another path that's dark. It's crooked, it has sharp bends, it's not paved, it's a dirt road. I mean, which path do you think you ought to take home on your way home? You ought to take the good path, right? You ought to take the right path that is lit so you can see where you're going. Well, the path of the wicked is like that path that's that dirt road. That is not lit. That has all these bumps in the road, all these holes in the road, puddles everywhere. It'd be pretty easy to wipe out on your way home on that road, wouldn't it? And so you know what the Bible is telling you? If you know that there's two paths, avoid the bad one. You see, there's the path of righteousness. There's the path of what's right and good and holy and just. And then there's the path of the wicked. The Bible's telling you don't go that way. You know there's two paths, so don't even go close to it. I mean, the Bible told us there back in verse number 15, it said, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. It's telling you because you know that that is where the path is, don't even go close to it. Pass away from it. Avoid it at all costs. Don't go near that path, because if you go near that path, you might be tempted to go down it, because that path might be a shortcut. It might be a shortcut to get on home where you're going, but you could easily be destroyed on that path home. And so you know what? The path of the wicked, it looks fun. The path of the wicked, it looks like they're enjoying themselves. And so if you go close to it, you just pass on by. You just kind of want to see what's going on. You just want to window shop a little bit. You just want to pass by it and kind of get a glimpse of what's going on there. You might be tempted to go that way, and you will be. And when you're tempted, then you'll be drawn away of your own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And we have a good example of this in the Bible, don't we? Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Look at verse number 5. See what the Bible has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 5. Look down. Proverbs chapter 7, I'm sorry, and verse number 5. Proverbs chapter number 7 and verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says here. We have a story of a simple man here in the Bible. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter number 7 and verse number 5. And it says this in Proverbs chapter number 7, verse number 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Did this man have intentions of going in to the strange woman? No, but he knew that she was there. He knew that's where the strange woman hangs out. And so he's going the way past her house. And you know what happens? Well, look at what happens in the story. Look at verse number 9. Bible says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with an attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her own house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You know what the Bible's saying there? Is this woman literally at every single corner of the street? No, she can't possibly do that, right? What it's saying is that there is this kind of woman at every corner of the street. You know, there are certain times of the night, you go out and you drive through New Orleans, you can see these kinds of women all over the place, can't you? Especially if you go down to New Orleans. You go down to the French Quarter. I mean, there at the French Quarter, you pass on through there. Hey, there's the path of the wicked right there. There's the way of the wicked right there. And you just pass on by it and you're tempted to look at it. You might go by the path of the harlot. And look at what the Bible says here. It says in verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Now, you notice how she's flattering him with her lips? Listen, what is a harlot? What is a whore? Do you think that whore actually cares about you? No, but why is that whore doing what she's doing? To make money, right? She's going to flatter you with her lips because she wants that money. It's the love of money. She doesn't care about you. She doesn't care that she has slept with all these other men and that she might have some kind of a disease that she can pass to you, and your life is going to be destroyed and your flesh is going to be destroyed because you went in unto the strange woman. She doesn't actually care about you. She's flattering you with her lips. And listen, you didn't intend to go into the strange woman, but you went by the way. You went by the path and she came out and caught you. You go by the path of the wicked, and you know what? The wicked are going to try to entice you. You see, the wicked wants you to join with them. The wicked wants you with them in their sin. They want company. They want somebody to be destroyed along with them. And so they are going to seek somebody that's just passing by. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says in verse number 14, verse 16, look there. It says, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stalks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. You see what happens when you go the way of the wicked, when you go in their path? You may not have the intentions to sin. You may not have the intention to take part in that sin, but there's going to be somebody there that's going to tempt you. That's going to catch you. That's why the Bible tells you, if you know the way of the wicked, you know where the path is, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn away from it and pass away. Don't even go near it. Go the opposite direction. If you got to take the longer way around, you got to take a harder way around, then you take the harder way and you don't go close to it. You stay away from that nonsense, because if you go close to it, it might ensnare you. It might entrap you, and you don't even know that it's for your life. You don't even know that it's going to destroy you. You know, this kind of reminds me as well of people that like to socially drink, right? Or they like to have a beer here or there. They like to have one drink, and they say, well, I can control it. Well, people that do drugs the same way, they do a little bit and they say, well, I can control it. It doesn't have too much of an effect on me. It's not addicting to me. Or people that go to the casino, right? They go down to the casino and they put that money in the slot machine and they pull that thing and they sit there first and they say, I can control it. I'm not addicted to it. And the next thing you know, they've completely destroyed their life. The next thing you know, they've given away all their life savings. They've wasted it all. The casino now owns their car. The casino now owns their home. The casino now is kicking them out because they don't have anything left in their life. And the casino doesn't care about them. That person said, well, I can control the alcohol. I can have a drink here or there. And before long, their liver is completely poisoned. They've destroyed their body because they got addicted. Same thing with drugs. They thought they could control it at first. They went by the path. They went by the way. They thought they could control it. But you know what? That person is a foolish person that thinks that they can go near sin and it not have an effect on them. That can go near sin and it not touch them and them not be tempted to be drawn into that sin. Hey, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't go in their path and you will be blessed. Look back at Proverbs chapter number 1. Let's keep moving through that chapter there. Proverbs chapter number 1. And look back at verse number 1. Y'all got to listen up. You might have thought it was going to be a shorter sermon being a short chapter. We're still in verse 1. Look at what the Bible says back here, or Psalms chapter number 1, and look down at verse number 1, and we'll finally finish off verse number 1. Look at what the Bible says, Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of who? The scornful. You know what? You need to avoid the scornful person. Don't get counsel from the scorner. And listen, don't hang around the scorner. This person is a person that you ought not to even be near. Listen, this kind of a person is a person that would be kicked out of this church. A scorner. In fact, let's look at what kind of person this is. Go ahead and take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter number 13, and look at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter number 13. And look at verse number 1, see what the Bible has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 13. And look down at verse number 1 and see what the Bible has to say there. Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter number 13, verse number 1. A wise son heareth his whose? His whose? His father's. Hey, teenagers, that's important, isn't it? A wise son heareth his father's instruction. You can sit there and say that's Brother Joe's opinion all you want, but there's a Bible verse for it right there, isn't it? And the Bible says it flat out. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Notice what it says. But the Bible says there in Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner does what? Heareth not rebuke. You see, a scorner is a person who will not take rebuke, who will not be corrected, who will not allow others to tell him when he has done wrong and to correct him in his life. This is what a scorner is. And the Bible tells you not to sit in the seat of the scorner. Don't be close to him. Don't be near this kind of a person that will not take rebuke. You know, there's not a one of us that is above it. There's not a one of us that will ever get to the point where we sit there and say, I know everything, I have all knowledge, nobody can correct me. None of us ought to have, that's a scorner that says that. None of us should ever get to that point. And this kind of a person is a pretty wicked person that will not be rebuked. Hey, you ought to have no part with him. And you know what we'll see in the Bible what you do with the scorner? You don't correct the scorner. The Bible says rebuke not the scorner. It tells you to smite him. That's what the Bible says. So listen, the scorner is somebody that will not listen to words. You have to literally beat the man in order to get him to listen, and many times he won't. And the reason why you punish the scorner is so that others will fear, so that others will listen. Listen, when we cast people out of the church, if we ever have to do that, at that point, it's not for the benefit of the person you're casting out of the church. At that point, it's for the benefit of the church. At that point, it's so that people in the church will fear and not get to that point where they have to be cast out. At that point, it's for their benefit and profit. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 9. Look at verse number 7. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 7, it says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You see, a wise man, when he's rebuked, he'll recognize that he's wrong. He'll make the correction, and he'll love the person that corrected him. A scorner is a man that will not allow himself to be corrected. He is a prideful man that is lifted up in his pride, thinks that he knows all things, thinks that he knows everything, and won't allow anybody to correct him. That is what a scorner is. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs 14. Look at verse number 6. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 6. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 14, verse number 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. So this scorner, is he a wise person? Does he have wisdom? He may think he has wisdom. He's lifted up in his pride. He thinks he knows all things. But the Bible says he doesn't have understanding. It says he seeks wisdom and findeth it not. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse number 12. And the Bible says right there, Proverbs 15, verse number 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. You see, the scorner, he will not only not hear wisdom, he will not only not hear understanding and rebuke, he will not go to the wise. He thinks he knows all things, he's lifted up in his pride, and he will not go in and seek counsel. He will not go seek after those that are wise because he's lifted up in his pride. Look at Proverbs 21. Look at verse number 24. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 21, verse number 24. And the Bible says, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. So right there, the Bible tells us that this man is proud, isn't he? Man, I tell y'all to turn your phones off all the time. I forgot to turn mine off. But anyways, this man is a proud and a haughty man. This scorner is lifted up in his pride. Look down at Proverbs 21 there. Look at verse number 25. It says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Now, what else do we see about this man? This man is a covetous man. And by the way, covetousness is a sin that the Bible tells me to cast you out of the church for. So you see why I would cast out the scorner? Because the scorner is a covetous man. And by the way, it told us there that this man is lazy, that his hands refuse to labor. He refuses to work. You see some correlations there between the lazy man who is also a scorner, who is lifted up in his pride. I mean, why does he even have pride? It's not like he worked for what he has. It's not like he worked for any wisdom that he has. He has no wisdom. He has no understanding. He has not labored and worked for what he has. He's covetous of what everybody else has. This man is a wicked person. You need to avoid sitting in the seat of this kind of a person. And you know what that tells me? Don't be around them. Don't be close to this kind of a person. Don't make friends of this kind of a person. I mean, every one of us, when we were children growing up, didn't your parents teach you to have the right kind of friends? Doesn't every parent teach their child to do that? So you know what? Why as a pastor would I teach you any different? Why would I teach you to be around just everybody and everyone and bring them all in? No, don't do that. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. This person is not welcome in church because it's going to be a hindrance to the church. It's going to harm people in the church. Take your Bibles there and go to Proverbs chapter number 3 and look at verse number 33 when you get over there. Proverbs chapter number 3 and look at verse number 33. And the Bible says this. In Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 33, the Bible says right there, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the what? Scorner. So the exact way that the scorner is what God does to the scorner. He scorns the scorner. Well, let's think about that. What does the scorner do? The scorner will not listen. The scorner will not heed. So what does God not do for the scorner? He will not listen to the scorner. He will not heed the scorner. He will not hear the scorner's prayers. This man is a man who will not be heard by God, and God will laugh at his calamity. Just read Proverbs chapter number 6. And because they will not heed God, because they rejected the knowledge of God, God says, when your calamity cometh, I will laugh. That's what God says in the book of Proverbs to this kind of a man. He scorneth the scorner. Just as they would do to others, that's what God does to them. The curse of God is upon this person. Look at what it says there. It says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto who? The lowly. So those that humble themselves is who God is going to give grace to. Look at Proverbs chapter number 19. And look at verse number 25. Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 25. So this kind of a person can't be corrected. So what do you have to do to this person? The person that will not hear. They will not hear the words of your mouth. They won't listen to understanding. Well, let me ask you. You may tell your child to do something first, right? You give them your laws. You give them your commandments. But if they will not heed you, what do you do to that child when they disobey? You spank them, right? You beat them with the rod. You smite them, don't you? I mean, that's exactly what you do. So this rod is for the person that will not listen. Look at what the Bible says here in Proverbs 19, verse number 25. And the Bible says, smite a scorner, and what? And the simple will beware. So when you get to this point where you got a scorner, the reason why you're smiting the scorner is not for the scorner's benefit. It's for the benefit of the simple. That the simple will see and beware. You see, when we get to the point where we had to cast somebody out of the church, it's not for the benefit of the one you're casting out. It's for the benefit of everybody else. It's for the benefit of the simple that they would see that and they would beware and they would become wise. You see, the law of the Lord maketh the simple wise, the Bible says. Look back at what the Bible has to say in Proverbs chapter number 19 and look at, or Proverbs 22, go there. Proverbs 22 and look down at verse number 10. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter number 22. And verse number 10, and the Bible says there in Proverbs 22, verse number 10, the Bible says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall what? Shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So you know what? If you cast out the scorner, what's going to cease? Strife. Contention is going to cease. You know why? Because only by pride cometh contention. You cast out the scorner, you cast out that pride, and the contention will go out. I mean, listen, this is what the Bible tells us to do for the scorner. This is biblical, isn't it? Cast out the scorner. That's what the Bible tells us to do. It says, don't rebuke him. He can't be rebuked. He can't be corrected. So you know what you do? You cast him out. You smite him. You punish him. You chastise him. Hey, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes are for the back of the fool. You see, stripes are for the back of who? The fool, because he wouldn't listen. Because he wouldn't hearken to wisdom, to understanding, to knowledge. So you have to beat him. You see, that's why we have to spank the child, right? Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You see, when they grow up, hopefully they get to the point where they grow up and you don't have to beat them anymore. But you know what? There's a lot of kids who grow up and the foolishness wasn't beat out of them as a child. So now, instead of being beat with a little rod, with a spanking, now we have to whip them, right? And our society doesn't do that anymore, but in Bible days, that's what they did. Stripes were for the backs of fools. Somebody that didn't listen and learn as a child, they remained a fool. Foolishness was not beat out of them. And so they grow up and then the consequences are worse, aren't they? Because let me ask you, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a little spanking, or would you rather have a cat of nine tails digging into your flesh and ripping flesh off your back? Or even if it wasn't a cat of nine tails, if it was just a whip. Hey, brother Buddy's pretty good with a whip. Let him hit you one time with that thing and see how that feels. I mean, listen, that is a whip is for the back of fools. You know why? Because they wouldn't listen as a child. And so now you grow up and this child hasn't learned. This child hasn't grown. They didn't gain understanding. And so now the consequences are worse now, aren't they? Because they didn't get beat as a child. They didn't learn. They weren't given understanding. And so now as an adult, they go out, they sin, they live a wicked life, they go in the path of the wicked, they take hold on drugs and alcohol and fornication, and before long, they're in jail. Before long, they're facing a fine of $10,000 for being a drunkard and driving, drinking and driving. I mean, those consequences are a whole lot worse, right? Because those consequences are there for fools. You know why? Because only a fool would say, drink responsibly. Only a fool would say that. Only a fool would say, don't have too much. Hey, you have one drink, it's too much. You have one drink, you're impaired. You have one drink and it impairs your judgment. How exactly do you drink responsibly after that? You can't. It's impossible. So it is a fool that would say such a thing. It is a fool that would ever make an advertisement saying that. It is a fool that would ever put that up on a billboard. And it is a fool that sits there and says, I can control it and takes hold of it. And that man never learned as a child. And he goes out and he destroys his life. And now the consequences are worse than when he was a child. Because when you're in your father's household, the consequence was a spanking. When your father's household, the consequence might have been getting grounded. Might have been having something taken away. No, you can't go over to Johnny's house this week. No, you can't play with so-and-so. You just got to sit here. You got to be good. I mean, those were the consequences now. When you get to be an adult, it's real life consequences. When you get to be an adult, there are real effects on your life that if you continue in your foolishness being a child and don't put away childish things, the consequences are greater and they destroy your life. You need to heed the wisdom, the counsel, and the understanding, and don't sit in the seat of the scorner. Don't go in the way of the wicked. Don't heed the counsel of the ungodly. And if you will do this, the Bible says you will be blessed. Go back to Psalms chapter number 1, and let's see if we can finish this. I thought we'd be able to finish this here tonight. Maybe so. We've only finished verse number 1. Look at what the Bible has to say back over there. Psalms chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2. Maybe I can get through some of this pretty quickly. Bible says in Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 2, the Bible says right there, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, the man that's going to be blessed by God, number one, he delights in the law of God. You say, well, I'm not being blessed by God. I read so much scripture. I read a ton of Bible. I read all of this scripture, but how come I'm just not being blessed by God? Well, do you delight in his law? Do you love the law of God? Is the law of God something that you cherish? Is it something that you love? I mean, do you delight in the law of God? Have you made the law of God your delight? Do you meditate in it day and night? Not just one time a day. Listen, meditating is more than just reading. Listen, reading is where it starts. You have to read it to know it, to understand it, to know what God says about something. But then you need to love it. And you need to meditate in it day and night. You need to be spending time thinking about what God has said, about the words that are there, about loving the Lord your God, about His commandments. Meditate on those things. Think about how those things can benefit your life. If God says it's about this corner, meditate on this corner in the Bible. Meditate. If God tells me not to sit in the council of this corner, then sit there and meditate and think about, well, why? Why does God tell me not to sit in the seat of this corner? What else does He tell me? What kind of a person is this? What kind of effect is this going to have on my life? Meditate on what you read. Meditate on the Word of God. And you don't just do it one time a day. You do it all day. You meditate day and night upon the Word of God. But you know what the problem is in a lot of homes? They got that television clicked on. That's on all night long. It runs all the time, all day long. And instead of meditating in the Word of God day and night, they're meditating on soap operas day and night. They're meditating on TV shows and game shows and these TV dramas and these action shows and these sci-fi shows and this show and that crime show and NCIS New Orleans and this show and that show. All these shows that they're meditating on all the time instead of meditating on the Word of God. And they fill their mind with all these war shows. And they fill their mind with all these action shows and these superhero shows. Hey, have you noticed lately that now they're making a lot of shows that people in my generation grew up with? You see, it was my generation that grew up with the Captain America and the Spider-Man and the Batman and the Superman and all these Marvel superheroes. We had the comic books when we were young. And G.I. Joe and all this other stuff. So what do they make? They make a G.I. Joe movie. And they make a Thor and a Captain America and all these Marvel movies for these men that never grew up. And now we have men that sit around, watch Marvel TV shows all day long and sit there and play their video games. They're 40 years old and they're playing video games and ignoring their children and they're spending time delighting in those things and meditating on those things, and they meditate on war. They meditate on killing. They meditate on all these other things. They're not meditating in the Word of God. And no wonder our society is going to hell. You know why? Because they're not meditating in the things of God. Meditate on the Word of God and you will be blessed. And not only that, look at what the Bible says in verse number 3. The Bible says this in verse number 3 there. The Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall" what? "Whatsoever you do shall prosper." You know why "whatsoever you do shall prosper"? It's not that God just blesses every single thing that you do. Because listen, if you sin, is God going to bless that? No. You know why this person, "whatsoever he doeth shall prosper"? Because he's delighting in the law of God. He's meditating in the law of God day and night. Therefore, he's keeping the laws of God. He's obeying the laws of God. He's walking according to the Word of God. He's keeping the will of God in his life. And because he's keeping the will of God, then he is blessed by God. And listen, yeah, this man may make a mistake. Yeah, he may sin. Yeah, there might be some bad situations that come up in his life. But listen, doesn't the Bible tell us in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose"? Bible says God will work all things out for good. If you'll love God, if you'll love His Word, if you'll meditate in His Word, then you will be like this man. That whatsoever you do, the Bible says, shall prosper. Doesn't say might. It says shall prosper, the Bible says. Look back at Psalms 1. Look at verse number 4. Bible says there, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners where?" in the congregation of the righteous. Hey, there's more scripture there for casting people out of the church, right? You live a wicked enough life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be cast out of the church. You're not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Shall perish." The Bible says that the ungodly is not so, that they are like the chaff. What does the Bible mean that they are like the chaff? Well, let's finish with this. Go ahead and take your Bibles and go to, let me see where I want you to go. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's skip a little bit just so we can finish. Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4, go ahead and turn over there. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse 14. When you get there, while you turn there, I'm going to read for you Job 21. The Bible says in Job 21, it says, "Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? How oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away." You see, the wicked are just carried to and fro with every storm. Wherever the wind blows, that's where they go. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse 14. The Bible says this about us, that we henceforth be no more, what? Children. Don't be foolish anymore. Bible says that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, the ungodly, they're just carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They're just constantly deceived by men. They're all constantly deceived by the wicked. So you know what? There's somebody that comes along, pretty smart man. He's cunning, he's crafty, and he gives them this financial plan, and before long, he runs off with their money. Why is that? Because the ungodly are not so. They're carried away like the chaff. They go to and fro. They don't have wisdom. They don't have knowledge. They don't have understanding. They don't know the right place to actually invest their time, which is in the kingdom of God. Right? You invest in the kingdom of God, that can't be taken away. That's the only thing that's going to last forever, but the ungodly doesn't do that. The ungodly is carried about to and fro. And what happens to the ungodly? Hey, the Bible says this in Luke chapter number 3. Look at verse number 17. Luke chapter number 3. And look at verse number 17. The Bible says this in Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says right there, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with what? Unquenchable fire." What's the end of the ungodly? To be destroyed. What did it tell us in Psalm chapter number 1? The way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. You see, what I basically put before you tonight is two different paths. You have the path of righteousness, and you have the path of the wicked. You have the path of godly counsel, and you have the path of ungodly counsel. And you have a choice here tonight as to which path you're going to go. And you get to choose whether your life is going to be a life of prosperity, where God blesses you and whatsoever you do shall prosper, or a path where your life is going to be destroyed and you're going to perish. And when you come to the end of your life, and when your life is being destroyed because you did not heed the word of God, and you didn't heed what the preacher said, and you didn't heed what your parents said, and you didn't heed what your father said, don't come crying to me. Because at that point, I can't fix your life. You understand that? You understand, after you've made the decision and after you've gone into sin and you've wrecked your life and you've destroyed your life, there's only so much I can do. You see, people come to the preacher all the time and they think that the preacher can just fix everything in their life. Listen, I don't have the power to do that. I wish I did. I'd restore your life. I wish I could roll time back and fix the things that have happened and fix the things that have taken place. But I don't have the power to do that. And neither do you, by the way. The decisions that you make now will have a direct consequence on the things that you do later on in your life and what your life is going to be. So you know what? From this point forward, determine to seek after godly counsel. Determine to seek after the Word of God. Determine to go the path of righteousness and not the path of the wicked, because one day when you ruin your life, don't come running back to me thinking I can fix it, because I can't. At that point, it's too late. You've destroyed your life. And yeah, God has grace and He will forgive you if you come back to Him and you humble yourself. But you know what? You're always going to have to live with the consequences of your actions. Those things cannot be taken away. Those things will always be with you the rest of your life. So you know what, young people? Make the decision now just to obey God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the counsel that your elders are giving to you. No, your elders aren't perfect. Yes, they make a lot of mistakes. And listen, that's why they're giving you that counsel now in your life, because they made those mistakes when they were your age. Listen to it so that when you get to their age, you're not making the same mistakes. Just obey now and you will be blessed later on. Let's end in a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word this evening. I ask that you'd help us to take these things, to search them out, to study them out, to apply them to our lives, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed tonight.